involving Sandra and Lucy. And the rest of the story, when I kissed the wound, Sandra's wound, and I got into the bus as we pulled off, I poured Purell all over the end of my tongue, which probably was more likely to kill me than anything that she had. Don't do that. That was a horrible thing to do. Because I'm such a man of faith, David. That's sad. I really was not wanting to tell that part of the story, but Pacello felt like somehow that was important. Yeah, he did. What's that? A beer would have done it? No, it had to be Purell. I was going for it, buddy. So, again, just following up, simplifying, getting there for me, I would say to you, is get in His presence. Be a worshiper. It's a promise. And so, just in faith, stay in His presence, anticipate until a suddenly comes. But understand that when the suddenly comes, are you prepared for what it's going to be like? You know, it'll change you. It'll shake you up. But it's a good shake-up. You'll be more like Christ. That's a good thing. Don't be scared of that. But see, I believe, well, we'll do that right here now. So, because what happens in His presence, you dig trenches. You just do. In His presence, His love just calls you to fall down. I love Revelation 1, this old 92-year-old man. He said he turned to see the voice and he fell down like a dead man. Because in His presence, you hear His voice and He shows you His beauty, and you just fall down like a dead man all the time, wanting to repent, wanting to dig more trenches. Amen? So this little part is, we could do this for a week, but so I hope this is making sense. Keeping the fire. So I'm going to read some things to you because I think it will just make sense to you. And just some things that God gave me that helps me. So if you... I'm sure you can go back and listen to this, but if you're a note writer, then you want to get out your pens and write some notes, okay? As we said earlier, they position themselves to receive the more in the posture of prayer. There's a heavenly sequence in Acts chapter 1 and 2. And the heavenly sequence that not only brings you into revival, but sustains revival, is that if you want to go farther, you got to keep going deeper. And you got to keep digging the trenches deeper. And again, to dig deeper, it means more dirt's got to come out. But as the dirt comes out, the water comes in. And it's, the indication is the water comes from within. Really, the outpouring is an infilling. You all got the Holy Spirit in you. You got everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours in Christ. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So you're not trying to get more. You just want to experience it all. So it's actually an infilling. That story in 2 Kings chapter 3. And it just came from within. Came out of the ground, evidently. And so the heavenly sequence is, again, if you want to go farther, you've got to go deeper. It's always prayer that precedes power. Worship always before witness. Intimacy positions us for adequacy. You with me? Sustained intimacy in the secret place brings sustained adequacy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are adequate of ourselves to think anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient." This is the day of salvation. And that wasn't written to lost people. It's written to save people. It says in Romans chapter 5 that He saves us by His life every day from our fallen selves. It's an His word. And so as you keep present tense your life in the secret place, then it'll be present tense, Him living His life through you, in the public place. What you cultivate behind the veil will be manifested beyond the veil. That's just the sequence of Scripture and the sequence of the book of Acts. So you understand what I'm saying? the degree of fullness that you walk out and manifest out here is cultivated back there. Because you're cultivating His presence. You're digging new trenches. He's deepening surrender. There's all these things going on. Actually, next year, the Asinawaras Conference in the spring won't be on prophetic. We won't do another prophetic conference for a while. It's going to be about this, life behind the veil. Life in the secret place. Because this secret is the secret to life in the public place. Everything that requires power down in the streets flows from the passion that's cultivated in the upper room. You hear me? It doesn't start down the streets. Power evangelism in the streets is empowered back there in the secret place. This one's not mine. I wish it was. I like it. The more we marinate, the more we accelerate. The more you marinate in His presence, that's what God said to them, basically, wait, why don't you marinate in my presence and I'll keep the promise. And as they marinate in His presence, He positioned them, shifted, brought some things in order, and then the suddenly came. And just when you think you've got it down, Pat, there'll be more shifts and more shifts and more shifts. Even areas of repentance that you couldn't handle or hear Him say, you'll be able to hear Him say. A book I would recommend to you is a glorious book. It's an old book called The Calvary Road by Roy Hessian. He was impacted by the East African revival, one of the great revivals. That's one of the things that's important. You know, if whoever goes and does ministries in Africa, if it's East Africa, they're all children of the East African revival that began in the early 20th century. And you have to understand part of their deal. But that book by Roy Hessian, it's Hession, I think that's right, called The Calvary Road. Just a remarkable book. And it's a remarkable book about just repentance and revival. And the new ones, the copies, there's an addendum where he talks about continuing revival, and he talks about living for 50 years in revival, in the spirit of revival. Just a great, great book. One of the things he says that I'm so grateful for, when I was talking to you earlier about digging trenches, and digging trenches is about prayer. That's digging a trench. Worshiping is digging a trench. But in that whole context, there's a lot of repentance digging trenches. And one of the things he said was, you can't go to the cross in repentance two by two. We want to do that, don't we? I'll repent if you repent. If you'll admit what you did, I'll go then. No, you can't go two by two. You're not miserable because their fault. You're miserable because of your own fault. Your unholy response is the reason you're miserable. If victory in Christ was dependent on other people's behavior, it's a false and phony hope. It's a lie from God. Because you can't control other people's behavior. You have stewardship over your own walk with the Lord, and you cannot go to the cross two by two. You got to go yourself, by yourself, to the cross, and own your stuff, and then you'll be liberated, regardless of whether them or that or it got changed or not. You know, Bishop, you're being kind of harsh. I'm trying to be real. I'm talking to you from somebody who's mentally ill. And so God couldn't afford to be light with me and just be soft. I needed to know how not to be like this anymore. You with me? I was ready to dig trenches all the way to China. I didn't like being where I was. I was miserable. So I was asking you earlier, I said, well, what if you're just content with, what about people who are just content with just being where they're at? What they have will be all they'll ever get because they're content. And I said, that's true. And he said, well, what does God do? Is it God? I said, yes. What happens? He'll make you miserable. To give you a chance to get discontent so you can be desperate. The desperate are the best trench diggers in the world. You know? One of the things that's happened in my life recently is I fasted a lot years ago and quit because I hate fasting. It makes me miserable. I dream about pork chops jumping over fences at night so I can go to sleep. Just awful. And but the Lord, when I was praying that prayer, God, I want to put myself, position myself, you know, or whatever, so that you can create shifts in my life. So I'm postured to, or posture myself, so you can create shifts, so I can carry more presence and anointing. I just wanted more. I just want more because you know what? I'm not there. I told you yesterday about those four places in the upper room discourse. The last conversation before his crucifixion Jesus had with his discipleship group is it four different times in that short conversation. Ask anything you want, it'll be given to you if you ask in my name. He really wanted them to get that. I'm not there. I'm not close to being there. But I know I can get there, or he wouldn't have said it. Doesn't that stir you up and think, man, is that really possible to get there? You go, well, I'm too old. No, you can get there overnight, I think. Remember the story about inviting the laborers in the field at 6 o'clock? The work was from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. They were promised a denarius. Some showed up at 6, some showed up at 9, some showed up at 12, some showed up at 3, and some showed up at 5. Worked 1 hour. And when it was time the other day to pay them, he got the ones who had worked 1 hour to come first. The foreman brought them, and he gave them a denarius. And all the ones who had worked for hours and hours were excited, because I thought, well, this guy got a denarius, we're going to get a lot more. And they showed up and got in line, and he gave them a denarius. And they got offended. And it says they got offended with his generosity. Because, see, they struck a deal with him earlier in the day, and they felt like this was a deserving wage. You see, God's blessing, revival, is about God's goodness and favor. It's not about achieving. It's about receiving. But here's one of the things the Lord spoke to me. This is another one of those times where I heard the audible voice of God. It was really close. But I was crying out to God, God, I read like Heidi Baker's life, and she's like 14 years old out in the streets in Indian reservations witnessing. I said, Lord, here I'm, whatever I was in age. I said, God, I'll never get there. She's had all these years to get there where we're seeing these people raised from the dead and all this sort of stuff, verifiable things. 10,000 almost churches planted over a 10-year period in Mozambique. One of the great missionaries in history. Walks in humility, and the presence of God is the priority of her life. I said, God, I don't have enough years. And he said, Chuck, if you just show up, do these, I'm telling you, he said, this guys who only work for an hour, you know, they get the same wage. He said, you may not have as many stories to tell, so that you wish you'd start earlier, but you can get the full denarius no matter how old you are. And whatever time you have left on this earth, you can get the full denarius of God's favor and anointing and presence. That just jolted my world. And I've been so pumped about that ever since, because it's not too late. It's not too late. So I'm going after that place where I can come one day, look at you guys and go, I'm going to tell you something. Everything I ask him to do, he does. He's so adjusted my heart that everything I'm asking is in line with his will. You know? What would have happened if I had not kissed Lucy's open, you know, Sandra's open sore? I guess Lucy would still be in bondage to this day. Or God would have raised up somebody else. I'd have missed the joy of seeing that happen. Another little story, and this isn't about self-promotion, but there was an open town meeting. There was a bunch of women's groups throughout the city, Catholic and Protestant and Anglican, CC. They were raising money for the poorest of the poor. They had poultry program, and their pork program was called piggery. There was poultry and piggery. That's my new favorite African word, piggery program. And the MC of the guy was a Muslim. No, he was a witch doctor. There were Muslims there, and this witch doctor was MCing and this kind of stuff. And forgive me if you've heard the story. People walking around still. So it was really, there was a lot of darkness there. And they did all this program. And so it had been raining. It was wet. And they had some tarp on part of the thing. Then it was muddy. And I was dressed in this suit, and the Lord said to me, I want you to get down on your knees and ask these women for forgiveness for how they've been treated by the church all these years. And he said, I want you to get down the mud. And my first thought, being the godly man that I am, is, Lord, if I get down that mud, how am I going to ever get up out of the mud? Because it's slanted. I'm a big guy. And I just said, please, Lord. And so he told me to get my Mark Johnson, I think, tucked on the other side. And I got down on my knees in the mud. And I said, all you women that come and pray for me, I'll ask your forgiveness on the church's behalf for how you've been so mistreated over the years and so disrespected. It was powerful. They prayed for me and stuff. Well, God just broke out. People started getting healed. A Muslim got healed. And this witch doctor was the most famous witch doctor in the whole region. As we're driving out of Jinja the next day, we hear this on the radio. They're announcing on the radio that this famous witch doctor had gotten saved and was serving Jesus. Well, just because this fat guy got down in the dirt, even though I was scared, I couldn't get up. And while I'm on my knees in the dirt, you didn't understand again about the Purell thing. I'm on my knees in the mud and talking, and we're standing there next to me, and I'm saying all this stuff, but behind me in my mind's another conversation. Oh God, oh God, oh God, please make them be strong enough to get me out of this mud. So I'm just trying to tell you that. Gwen's like some super giant spiritual person. But what if I had not done that little act of obedience? You know, it's the small thing. It's the little foxes. And little foxes are usually, we're disobedient in little areas. We don't say yes in little areas. Lord told me again, day before yesterday, and I said this earlier. He said, Chuck, every time you say yes to me, in the smallest thing, I fill that moment with my presence and my pleasure, and I release my power. If he's going to stay with us this time, then we're going to have to stay before him this time. Lingering before him results in leaps in him. And so how we got there is the way we stay there in terms of sustaining the fire. But I want to do this one, and I got like 10 minutes to do it. Ron, if any of you guys need to get dressed and get ready at any point, you're welcome to. Won't bother me. So this almost sounds like something totally different, and I'm going to have to do it really short. So may God give us ears to hear. How to sustain revival is resting in your personal identity in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 6, because this is how you stay away from sin's victory over you. And again, this could be a whole seminar, but I'm going to give it to you as short as I know how. Verse 1 of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too, like with Jesus, we too might walk in newness of life. That's revival. For if we have become united with him with the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The resurrection life of Jesus. Walking in union with the resurrection life of Jesus. That's revival. Knowing this, that our old self, our old man, was crucified with him, that our body that was a slave to sin, might be rendered inoperative, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Then he goes on and he says, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin, not just for sin. He died to sin once for all. But the life that he's living to God. Even so then, therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, and therefore stop letting sin reign in your mortal body. You should obey its lust. So here's the story. So God, give me supernatural. I'm not a good enough teacher to do it, so it's going to have to be miraculous. You're in Christ, if you're a Christian, and therefore his history is your history. If you go back and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, like verse 10 there on, that when Jesus died on the cross, he took corporate humanity with him to the cross. That all of humanity died in him at that cross, but only those who choose him does that become real to them. You with me? And so what he says in Romans 6 is this, is that because of your sin and my sin, what we deserved was punishment, penalty. But what he did was, is he took you and me in his person to the cross, to the place of punishment. He took you and me in his person to that place of punishment. Here's a thing I wrote down here, if I can find it. It's hard to find things on here. There's a better word I was looking for. Christ took me in his person to the place of execution. And when Jesus died on that cross, I died in him. The guilty sinner, Jesus took me in his person and didn't just die for me. He died as me. He died as you. You were the substitute. He didn't just pay for your sins by taking you in his person to the place of execution. It was as if he were you, and you suffered and paid the penalty for the sins that you committed, but in the person of Jesus. Got it? That's called union, uniting with him in his death. And then when he went to the grave, you were in him into the grave. And when you came out of the grave, the old man is no longer who you are. You can act like him, but it's not who you are. You came out of the grave in union with his resurrection. So when he went to the cross, he took you in his person to the place of execution. His death for sin was your death for your sin. And his death to your sin was your death to your sin. His victory over lust was your victory over lust, because you died in him. His victory over your anger, he didn't just die for your anger, he died to your anger, and therefore you died to your anger because you were in him. His death for fear was your death for fear, because fear is sin. His death to fear, your particular tailor-made kind of fear, was your death. His victory over your fear was your victory. Because he says, what does he say here? Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your victory over sin is his victory over sin. And now his resurrection life being lived to God is your life. Because what? You're in Christ. You were in Christ at the cross. You in Christ at the grave. You're in Christ in his resurrection life. Let me read it to you again. For the death that he died to sin. Once for all. But the life that he lives right now, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. When did you die to sin? In him, in his death to sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. He's alive to God. The life he lives to God. Well, you know, the life that he lives to God today, is the life that you live. You're in him. He's the life of victory. You know, I don't know how to live to God. I haven't struggled living to God. Well, it's because you've been united to someone who lives to God. And you've been united to the victorious life that he's living. We rest in that reality. So many times a day I'm stopping going, Lord, thank you for your victory over this sin, because your victory is my victory. Because I died in you to that sin. And I thank you for the life that you're living to God in me right now. I'm in union with that resurrection life. You hearing me? And you don't have to recite all that. You got to get it down in your spirit, because then I just go, Lord, thank you that you're my victory right now. Because I died in you to that sin, you died to that sin, and when you died to that sin, I died to that sin. And the life, the victorious life I need now, I have in you. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. How can I be dead to sin? Because you died to sin in Christ. Okay, but I died to sin, but I want to live because sin's pulling at me. I can. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living right now, he lives to God. He's living that life right now in you. You hearing me? Spirit of revelation, come. You were in him. He took you in his person to the place of execution, the place of burial, the place of resurrection, and to the place of ascension. You're seated in him in the heavenly places in Christ. You don't have to put up with demonic nonsense. Oh, it's just been a lot of warfare. Really? Well, if it's under his feet, it's under your feet too. Charismatics practice the presence of the devil all the time. Jesus made a public display. He triumphed over him, and you're in Christ. That triumph over the devil is your triumph. His triumph over the flesh is your triumph. So let me say it to you again. Like, brush your eyes off, like clean a cue stick, like scrub it real good. He took you in his person to the place of execution. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because you were already condemned in the person of Jesus. For every sin you'll ever commit or ever have committed, he may convict you, he may deal with you, but he's not going to condemn you. He can't condemn a person who's already died for their sins. You can't bury a guy out of the ground who's paid for his sins and then hang him again. That's why God doesn't deal with us on the basis of condemnation. If you feel condemned, then it's not Jesus. So you died, he took you in his person to the place of execution, and you died for your sin in the person of Christ. Then that condemned person got buried. What's what you should do with a dead person who just paid for the sins they committed? Committed the crime? Hang him on the tree? Hang him on the cross? Put him in the ground. But glory to God, he's a creator, and a new person came up out of the grave, a totally new self, who's in union now with a risen Jesus who is victorious. His death to that sin is your death to that sin. His life that lives to God is your life that lives to God. You just rest in that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my life. I rest in your victory. You are my victory. He did it all. Religion says, go for it. Achieve, accomplish, get there. Then you have victory. Jesus said, I'll tell you what, let's do it different. Victory. Now go for it. Amen. I brought you into victory. The death, burial, resurrection. You were in me, and you're in me now. Now go live a Christian life. Jesus wasn't holy because he did holy things. Jesus did holy things because he was holy. It came out of his being, not of his doing. His doing flowed out of his being. You're in Christ. You don't do holy things to make you holy. You're holy, therefore you do holy things because you're one with him. You're connected to the vine. You're the branch, and whatever the vine has, the branch has. I've told you the story before. I don't go to the bank, stick out my arm to the teller with a check, and the banker doesn't say, the lady behind the thing doesn't say, I'm sorry, I can't give this check to your hand. I can only give this to Mr. Jones. Well, the hand's connected. It's part of Mr. Jones. He's the vine, you're the branches. It's not a branch connected to a vine. You're the branch part of a vine through which he bears fruit. So you rest. Lord, thank you that for your victory over this issue in my life. Because you see, your victory is my victory because I was in you. And now you're in me. Oh, I'm in you, and therefore you're in me. I'm in the vine therefore is in me. I thank you for your victorious life right now. Over this sin, in this situation, That's so important to sustain revival. Because it keeps, what kills revival? Sin. Amen? Well, we have time to... Here's the thing we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to do the prophetic thing, but we're also, that's when we're going to do the impartation. So I know some of you need to go somewhere, do other stuff, I understand. We just need some time. And so if you want to come back, we'll pray for you. You don't have to have me pray for you to get there. Truth will set you free, doesn't it? But if you want that hands-on impartation to give you a jump start, you come. We're also going to do prophetic ministry. We're going to release some of you in the prophetic who want to be released, don't know how. It's not very hard. We're called sheep. We're not rocket scientists spiritually. And so you just come, and we'll just release and do that stuff. So that'll be at 2:30 for those of you who want to come. But if you don't, be free to have a fun afternoon celebrating who you are in Christ. Amen? All righty. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get my stuff off.